I'm Kevin Middleton.
And I'm Samantha Berg. And this is The Bridge to Everywhere. Welcome to The Bridge to Everywhere. Join us as we explore health, community, and culture from a holistic perspective. Health topics addressed on our show are for information and entertainment and should not be taken as medical advice. If you have a medical condition, please consult an appropriate care provider.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. Our guest this evening is Tina Williams, owner of Feel Better Naturally, a holistic health clinic in Wasilla, offering colonic hydrotherapy, infrared sauna, and ionic foot bath detoxification in a therapy called Aqua Chi. Tina experienced a radical shift in her own health as she embraced these therapies and resolving her own serious health issues that she'd been suffering for many years. And the health of the colon is a very serious issue, so we really are excited to get into this tonight. The various health problems that occur in the human colon take place when impacted fecal matter and toxins are allowed to remain in the intestines for a long period of time, and they're not eliminated properly. And the longer this waste material sits in your colon, the more likely it is that these toxins will be absorbed back into your body. And as these toxins remain in your body, you become more susceptible to chronic health problems like irritable bowel, colitis, diarrhea, weight problems, hemorrhoids, joint pain, chronic fatigue, and many other of the chronic health issues that so many Americans are facing. So we're really excited to get into this tonight.
Yep, and I just want to give a brief introduction to Tina, and then we're going to have her tell us how she got into becoming a colon hydrotherapist in the first place. So Tina Williams is a certified colon hydrotherapist. She was born in West Virginia, and she has lived in Alaska for 20 years. She raised two girls and is now raising her grandson. After a near-fatal struggle with Candida albicans, otherwise known as yeast, she was able to cure herself via colonics and far-infrared sauna sessions. Her second chance at life convinced her that everyone needs to know about the benefits of colon hydrotherapy, so she opened her business Feel Better Naturally in Wasilla, Alaska, and that's on Bogard Road, intersection of Bogard and Peck. And if you would like to learn more about the therapies that Tina offers, you can visit her website at www.colonicsalaska.com, and you can also visit her Feel Better Naturally Facebook page. So welcome, Tina. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I also want to just invite our listeners to ask your questions on our Facebook page. Go to Bridge to Everywhere on Facebook. Type in your questions, and we'll have.
Yes, by all means.
And I just want to say how I'm excited I am to have Tina on the show tonight, because I've really, for 8 years, I've been trying to find somebody in Alaska who does colon hydrotherapy. I've had a lot of people ask me about it over the years, and to have somebody who's been doing it for this long and also had personal experience with it, it's going to be great just to offer our listeners some really good insight. So Tina, what we'd like to get a sense of, first of all, is some of the health struggles that you were dealing with and what you tried to do for those health struggles and what you eventually found out and how the colon hydrotherapy actually helped you get better.
Well, it was a long road. I was very ill. I was running fevers. My husband came home from the slope. They cut me open, done exploratory surgery, removed my appendix. I was still very sick, starting to have allergic reactions to everything like broccoli, kiwi, anything healthy. Tried oral detoxing. It made me worse. My body didn't react well.
What do you mean by oral detoxing?
Tohi cleanses, things I could get at an herb store. Mm-hmm. You know, just
so you're trying to use herbs orally, like take lots of different. Call that kitchen sink cleansing, where you're doing
whatever it takes. I tried just about everything,
okay. But like I couldn't figure therapy out what. Too, the, like
no, I didn't get into anything. You know, money wasn't the. Okay. You know, so.
But a lot of different varieties of herbal cleanses that had combinations,
yes,
of Chinese herbs and Ayurvedic herbs and Western herbs and,
yes,
all that kind of stuff.
Body reacted bad. It was, okay, like I didn't have any options. Went south, did an Aqua Chi, looked like something from the Black Lagoon with a big foam on the top. She said it was yeast. Done some kinesiology, said every meridian in my body was locked up tighter than a drum. I need to do something and do something now or I wasn't going to make it.
And how old were you at this point?
That was about 10 years ago, so 40.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's pretty young to be, mm-hmm, having those kinds of
health conditions. I worked in bakeries, donut shops, pizza parlors, worked the bread, kneaded the bread, inhaled the bread, and, mm-hmm, also digested it.
Okay. So you had like yeast that literally invaded
systemic
your body.
Systemic, yeah, beyond systemic.
Okay.
body started shutting down. They couldn't give me any answers. All they were looking at was more pharmaceuticals, more surgery. I didn't want that option, so I started the colonics.
Mm-hmm. And when you say shutting down, just give me a, like, so I want people to really understand what that looks like. So when you say shutting down, I'm guessing that you were
212 pounds,
overweight,
gray
yeah.
skin, no energy, life was just slipping away.
Okay. And were you constipated at
the
time?
Very. Was most of my life. Had a bowel movement maybe once a week. Mm-hmm. Thought that was normal.
Uh-huh.
It's
and,
not.
And you said, so they was the appendix removal due to, did you actually have pain or was
no.
that sort of like they just decided?
Because they opened me up and air got to it. They said they had to remove it. I don't want to lose any of my parts. I'm
right.
trying to hang on to this stuff.
Okay. So there wasn't actually necessarily a medical.
I was having an allergic reaction to kiwi.
Okay. All right. Got
and, you know, recovered.
Uh-huh.
Put
okay.
kiwi in my mouth. Everything swelled up. I was 2 hours at work by myself because I was manager of a pizza parlor, unable to take orders and take care of everybody orally. So it was just write everything down, all questions, you know, got through it, but found out that kiwi was my issue. But the base of it was candida.
Mm-hmm.
My body was reacting and trying to tell me something, and I wasn't listening.
So did you have allergies growing up as you
no,
were young?
No, sir. I was fairly healthy most of my life. But as I grew and constipation was a big issue, and diet, of course, everything we eat, drink, and breathe is toxic. The more toxic it became, the more toxic I became because you live on what you can and survive a family as you can.
So let's talk a little bit about candida. So you worked in bread. You're doing a lot of bread
mm-hmm.
baking. So brewer's yeast, baking yeast is what you're exposed to. That candida albicans is a type of yeast.
It lives yeah. on breads, mm-hmm. pasta, yeah. white rice, white flour, white sugar. Anything white is said to feed it. So it wasn't a good thing for my body. Mm-hmm. And as I intook more and more and more and worked it more and more, it just became a very bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
No many bakers in the same position, but it's getting their eyes to open to actually see it.
Sure.
So basically it just became systemic within the body. When the body started shutting down organs, not functioning properly, not providing the fluids to digest food, everything just kind of going downhill, started colonics by suggestion in Florida. The lady did 7 sessions with the far infrared sauna. She said, as locked up as my body was, every meridian tighter than a drum. If I didn't do something and do a lot, it wasn't going to help. So I did the far infrared sauna with the colonics together because the sauna sets you up for detoxing. You're already in detox mode by the time you get to the table. It helps you release, relax, do all around better.
So
I'd like to ask a question
yeah.
about that.
Yes, sir.
Just the difference between infrared, far infrared sauna and just a regular sauna. What is the difference?
The far infrared mocks the sun's rays. So it provides wavelengths that actually flow through the body and detox. You sweat. As you sweat, you are releasing toxins in that sweat. Where when you just sauna in, say, a steam sauna, you are sweating. You're releasing what you can. But it's not like the wavelengths actually going through the body, causing it to release.
So maybe it's a little more superficial.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And so at 7, I had to call my husband and say, hey, I need another $1,000. You know, my body's responding. I need more. Because I was starting to release, but nothing like I should have been at 7 by what the lady was
And
was
so this is
guidance.
7 sessions of doing how much time in the far infrared sauna?
I think she done 40, 45 minutes.
And then so 40, 45 minutes, and mm-hmm. then on the table with the colon hydrotherapy.
Well. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so after my husband sent more money and I bumped my plane ticket, I did 7 more sessions. At 14, my body was just starting to release what it should have 10 prior. That's how locked up I was.
Wow.
I was
and
lucky to
release,
get a second
chance. What specifically was the...
Toxins, you know, it's basically taking of having a bowel movement on the table. You're releasing
okay.
feces.
So
okay.
so prior to that, during the sessions, nothing was coming out?
Some. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very, very slow
uh-huh.
for me because
okay.
I had to actually, with your first couple of colonics, you're hydrating the body. You're doing many things as you start the colonics process. When you hydrate the body, everything starts working better. Things release better in your stomach. When your colon is hydrated, it also releases what is attached to the intestinal walls. Because as we age, things attach to the intestinal walls, and they don't really release unless you do something to try to get them out of there.
So kind of a film builds up on the inside walls.
Film, mucus, foods, things attached.
And that's going to interrupt the water absorption from the
right.
colon?
Okay.
It sounds like you're also talking about something on a cellular level, too. If I'm getting
Very
you
cellular.
Right, you're talking about the ability to get nutrients in
mm-hmm.
to cells and nutrients out.
And
out. So we're talking about like on a like in terms of the permeability of the cell wall, like things are just not even coming out at a certain point. So that cellular respiration process isn't working.
Yes, and many people have a misconception when they take vitamins and such, because I did the same, that your body's actually absorbing this stuff. It's not. If it's not a healthy gut, it's a waste of money.
Yeah, one of our friends likes to say that if you don't have a healthy digestive system, you're just
don't try to fix it.
Yeah,
you could have the healthiest diet ever, and it's still not going to be right.
What's going into the septic system?
Age is inevitable.
Yeah.
As we age, everything decreases in its ability to be able to function properly. Mm-hmm. So with colonics, everything rejuvenates. Your body entirely rejuvenates. I mean, my skin changed, my hair changed, my weight changed, my energy sure changed. Changed everything in my life. So it was a good thing. I came home refreshed, renewed, invested in a far infrared sauna, did some sauna sessions until I could get to the point of doing colonics. I did find that there were three closed systems in Anchorage, but however could never get there for any sessions. Closed is entirely different than the open system, which is what I have. A Libby is considered an open system. The Cadillac of colonics.
Yeah, so we want to talk about that, because I know I had tried to find somebody in Anchorage several times, and you know, I got names, but I never had phone calls returned, so I didn't really know the difference between open system, closed system.
A closed system has a larger rectal tube. Everything goes in and out through that tube. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All feces, all water, all through that large tube. The closed system has a very small tube, the size of your little finger. It only goes in a half an inch. As it goes in, the water flows through it, flows in up the descending, across the transverse, and down the ascending, all the way to the ileocecal valve. So it is cleansing the entire large colon.
Mm-hmm. This is the open system?
Well, both. Oh, yeah, both systems clean the same area.
So both systems get through the entire colon.
Closed system, you have an attendant that stays by your side the entire time. The attendant inserts your rectal tube and controls your hold and release. With my device, an open system, why it is considered the Cadillac, you control your hold and release, you insert your tube, I leave the room, I give you your privacy, you have a bell to your side if you have discomfort, pain, anything beyond your comfort zone, you hit that bell, I'm right there.
Mm-hmm. This is great, I want to just maybe slow down just a little bit for our listeners who are really learning about this for the first time, and maybe just walk through the... So just walk through the process.
Yeah, even start back from like, so somebody walks into your office.
Walks into my office.
And okay. So what's going to be that process for somebody who's like, first of all, they know they're in a toxic state. They're in a situation like you. They've never tried it. They're nervous. They're uncomfortable.
Everybody's nervous and scared. Yeah. I was too.
Right.
I was no different.
So they're, you know, and it's just something that's a little bit taboo in our culture to talk about. And here they are walking into a place to do this. So tell me, like, from the beginning, what is the patient experience like what do they experience from the time they walk into your office until
when they walk in my door? I try to greet everybody with a smile, a good hello, invite them to come in, sit down, have a cup of tea, grab some information, just read, look, learn about your body, give them a tour, show them around, make everybody feel at home. I want everybody to know where the bathroom is, number one, because you know everybody needs to use the bathroom. Then we go into the tour. I show them the colonic room, take them into show them the device, offer two racks of information, which, like I said, anybody can grab anything they want. Come in, just get information. Start learning. Start there. You know, that breaks the ice. It gets you the nervous to a point where, okay, I can cope with being in here. I can make myself at home. I'll come in. I'll look and learn. Don't mean you have to do
anything.
Well, I've
seen pictures of your space on the internet, and it looks beautiful. I mean, it looks comfortable and relaxed. So, you know, I mean, I've been in doctor's offices that don't, you know, that feel
I don't want it to have a doctor feel.
Clinical.
It's not a doctor sense. Mm-hmm. I want it to be homey, yet elegant. So I'm that's what I went for, trying to make everybody as comfortable as possible because it is kind of a nervous thing.
Well, the first place I went to do a colonic in Maryland was this old grandmotherly type woman, and I remember she had this like ice blue shag carpet in her house. It was, and she had like a little back room where she did the colonics, and you know, and it was a little bit
typical colon hydrotherapy,
right? Mm-hmm. But she was a former nurse, and she'd had a similar experience that you had. So ultimately, the experience was positive. It was the system you're talking about, where the therapist stays there for the whole time. But I remember the setup was a little bit like I'm in somebody's house and I'm, you know, in their living room, and you know, it felt very much like this is just not like an odd experience. Mm-hmm. Versus,
she was a very cheery woman though,
yeah,
and she loved what she was doing.
She was awesome. So you know, I was an acupuncture student at the time, so I was pretty open to trying anything. But even being open to trying everything, there was something about the setup for me that was like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And so you've got a very professional environment, so it's different.
That's what I'm trying for.
Now, I want to just get back to the experience that your clients are going to have. So you're going to walk them through the instructions, tour, and there's a tub of sorts that they're going to undress privately. And it's a table that actually has...
It is a table. You lay on your back. Mm-hmm. You have your buttocks goes against the bottom of the table, the base of the table, where the tube has an opening, an area for you to release in. Also where the tube is connected and the water comes into your rectum. Your legs are over to the side or out front. You pull a drape up over you. You're entirely draped the whole time. Pretty comfortable situation. The water fluctuates from 98 to 104. The device shuts down at 105. That's as high as it can go. Recommendations depending on what you're suffering with as far as water temperature. It works better for me around the body temperature, 98-99. Parasites, 92 to 95. Different things, but basically you just come in, you lay down, you relax, you insert the water, I start the flow for 45 minutes, the water goes in, everything else comes out. Mm-hmm. You have a tube to your left that you can see everything coming out of your body. What I tell everybody is, hey, you want to know what's going on with your body? Take a look at what's going through the tube. Everybody should take a turn around and see what's in the toilet when you have a bowel movement. If you have mucus, there's a lot of things that are staying in your gut too long. If you have a lot of white, flaky stuff, it's considered yeast, candida. It's like dandruff in your toilet. So there's various things you can look for. Parasites, of course, you're going to see the worms. Or there are parasites that you can't even see. Many people have many things going on in the gut, and that's the problem. Because if any imbalance is in there to begin with, it's already off balance. Things aren't functioning properly. Starts from there, and it just goes downhill.
And you're also recommending that people do what you did, which was to do the infrared sauna first? Okay.
And I give everybody a complimentary 20-minute far infrared sauna session just to give everybody a feel when they buy their first two colonics of what it feels like to be in the sauna, do a little sweating, then get on the table, see if they're relaxed more, if it works better for them. Granted, it's only a half a session, but it's complimentary. Mm-hmm. Figure it just gives them a feel of what it's like to be in the sauna, and if it's something for you, then you know from there.
Sure.
Okay, now you mentioned something about hold and release, and I just wanted to have you clarify what that is. And I also want to ask if this is uncomfortable. I mean, I can imagine water coming in, up through your colon in a reverse direction, that and then filling in, it might actually be a fairly unusual sensation. I'm just wondering if you could say more about that.
Because this is an open system, and you do control your own hold and release, which means you tighten your sphincter, your buttocks, and you hold the water in. And when you hold the water in, if you get to a point you can't hold it in, you just relax and it comes out. The water does feel cool even at 98 degrees when it goes in your belly. A lot of people feel it feels too cold, but that's where I have to stop it, and that's where I have to stop it. Start it and stop it. With the IACT regulations that I follow, which are the International Association of Colon Hydrotherapy, recommend all these things that I follow have strict guidelines, and that's where I would draw the line with colon hydrotherapy. If someone is an IACT certified, I would question the status myself, because I've learned the difference. I know that most of the complications with colon hydrotherapy are through people who are not certified or guided in any direction, and they do what they want.
So when you're talking about this certification, is that something that you automatically, if you want to purchase the machine, and do you then have to go through the certification process, or does the manufacturer, is that part of the purchase of the machine? Like, how does that certification work?
When you purchase the device, you have to pay for classes. You can't purchase the device without the Libby certification, mm-hmm. which is the device manufacturer's lower intestinal bottom bowel evacuator is what it stands for, Libby. So you have Libby certification, and if you really want to top it off and do the best you can do, then you do the IACT certification. You do the anatomy and physiology. You are aware of what the body does, what the parts are, and how it works. And the IACT backs you. They give you all the guidance, all the learning that you need to be certified to take care of many contraindications, which, are Crohn's, colitis, diverticulitis, things that can already be bad in the colon.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying those are actually contraindications for doing?
Yes.
So you wouldn't with Crohn's and colitis?
It's questionable. You
really?
Have to have a prescription from a doctor. There are contraindications on the back of one of the sheets.
Yeah, I saw one of that list of the contraindications.
If you have a contraindication, then you have to have a prescription from a doctor, which I just basically have a fax device. I fax them a script form. They fill it out. They fax it back. They fax it back and agree, we're all good. They fax it back and they don't agree, then I have to call them and discuss, okay, why? How bad is it? What is the status of the gut? Because I don't want any perforations. I don't want any problems or complications. I want people to do well. The whole point in this is to make people feel better.
So I mean, my guess is that in general, colon hydrotherapy would be good for those conditions, but you just want to approach with caution, is
yes.
what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Because that was surprising to me, because it seems like it would just be like, approach with caution, be aware, you
don't... Depends on the severity of the damage already done.
Okay.
And as you know, nothing gets good before it gets worse. So you have to go through quite a bit to recover some of the damage that has been done. Mm-hmm. If you're in pretty good health or your colon isn't already to something terrible like that, then it just gets better from there. Mm-hmm. But if you do already have a contraindication, it's questionable as to the status of your body and how your doctor feels about it.
Right. So things like some of these things on here, and I just want to read the list that you provided. So it says there are some possible contraindications, and a contraindication is when colon hydrotherapy should not be considered unless prescribed by a licensed healthcare practitioner. And what you have listed is abdominal hernia, abdominal surgery, abnormal distension or masses, it makes sense, anemia, aneurysm, carcinoma, which is cancer, some cardiac conditions, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, dialysis patients, diverticulitis, fissures or fistulas, hemorrhaging, hemorrhoidectomy, is that what that, yeah, mm-hmm. hemorrhoidectomy, intestinal perforation, lupus, which I want to talk to you about that on why that is, pregnancy, rectal surgery, and renal insufficiencies. So some of these you would likely know because the person has the diagnosis, mm-hmm. but my hunch is that a lot of people are walking around with diverticulitis and minor fissures.
Mm-hmm. Crohn's,
and
ulcerative colitis.
If you haven't been diagnosed with it, mm-hmm. and it's something you're unsure, you're mm-hmm. on the fence about,
right.
then I suggest come in and try it. Mm-hmm. If you try it and your body agrees, mm-hmm. it's better for you.
Right.
If it doesn't agree and you have too many ill effects, don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's and then so some of these, I'm just curious what the reason behind. So for lupus, it's in the autoimmune spectrum, so I would think that there'd be some benefits to doing that with the autoimmune condition.
Personally, my teacher told mm-hmm. me to do everybody. Uh-huh. Everybody and anybody. He said
right.
we all need it.
It's good for everyone.
I leave it up to how healthy you look when you come mm-hmm. through the door, how you feel, what's going on in your life, how healthy do you try to stay, mm-hmm. what's your diet like, your exercise plan, are you trying to get healthy? If the overall picture is good and I can get, because it is a contraindication, a prescription from a doctor, mm-hmm. I move forward.
Yep.
I have done some Crohn's patients. I've done some diverticulitis patients. I personally had hemorrhoids, fissures, and things when I started this. I was in pretty bad shape. But all of it healed. All of it is improved, right down to my thyroid. My thyroid was basically gone, and every time I see the doctor once a year for my annual exam, she has to reduce the dose. It's recovering at such a rate.
That's amazing. You know, and you so rarely hear that people can get off their thyroid meds. Mm-hmm. You know, mostly
it's
see people going
diet.
In the other direction.
Yeah, exercise. Yeah. What
with,
you do to be healthy.
Sorry, with hemorrhoids, you know, doesn't that interfere with actually inserting the tube itself, or is that
depends on the size of the hemorrhoids, how inflamed, what's going on. Mine were pretty inflamed when I started, and it was a bit uncomfortable, but wasn't nothing that I couldn't override considering what I was going to get for the overall benefit out of this.
Okay.
So I proceeded, and I don't think I answered both your questions earlier. I don't remember.
I think we got it pretty good.
We?
Yeah, and okay. I was going to actually ask, now, does it go up into the small intestine at all? Or
no,
no, it goes...
Cuts off at the ileocecal valve where the small intestine takes over.
Okay.
It cleans the entire large intestines. The more you do it, the more it cleanses. Each time you come and you do a colonic, something in your body will release toxins. I actually thought I was going blind when I found this as well, because my vision was pretty much gone. It was a very scary deal for me. It recovered. Just through cleansing, and what I found out is toxins also attach to the optic nerve. They attach wherever they can find a weak spot. If there's a weak spot, they'll attach. When you cleanse and you remove all these toxins, all the injuries that I had, my vision, like I said, everything improved. Everything is recovering at a pretty good rate. And as far as I know, I'm healthy.
So let's talk about, first of all, I would like to get back into more like the kinds of things that come out that you mm-hmm. see. So are people asking you to come in and say, hey, I saw this. What do you think of that?
Well,
or is that part of what your
job
is?
By IAF regulations, I can't say it's this or that uh-huh. or the other. But by experience, I can tell you what I've seen, mm-hmm. what I believe, what I was told, what sure. I've learned. The white dandruffy stuff is yeast. And the majority of the people I see, they're putting it to the base of every ailment there is. Mm-hmm. Today it's begun to be an epidemic because mm-hmm. it is in everything. It's in bubble gum. It's in licorice. It's in every food that you can imagine.
Yeast is.
It's a filler, yes. Candida.
Okay. But now, when you eat baked bread, is the yeast killed in that, or it's still active?
It feeds the yeast. Anything that you put in your mouth that we'll consider as feeding the yeast, which is white flour, white sugar, white pasta, white rice, anything white, it's going to feed the yeast. When you feed that yeast, it only grows and grows and grows. I have people that tell me they pass marble-sized nests of yeast. Mm-hmm. Then that's all it is. It's like a nest of yeast in your body.
Wow.
Your gut can hold mucus. It can hold feces. It can hold anything that it has. I've got an article in my office of a woman that held an ink pen for 25 years. Big fascination of the article was the ink pen still worked.
I think I heard about that one.
Yeah. It's just, you know, fascinating things like that. There are things in your gut you wouldn't have a clue until you do something like this.
Now, would probiotics help?
Probiotics are amazing. They are a must. It takes 1 million probiotic cells to kill one yeast cell. So you need a pretty high rate. Fermenting food is wonderful, you know. I do take a probiotic supplement. I don't think you can take enough, especially if you're fighting yeast, unless you're being very well-behaved and not eating anything man-made. I take a supplement every night before I go to bed. People have a misconception, and they take it of the morning. You take it of the morning, you dilute it all day long. Eats, drinks, it doesn't get the opportunity to do the job that it needs to do. So if you take it the very last thing before you go to bed, right before you lay down, it sits in your gut, it does what it needs to do, it builds instead of dilutes.
This is the probiotic
probiotics.
You're talking about? So you're taking it at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very last thing before I go to bed.
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard somebody say that. Usually I have people take probiotics with meals. So the type of probiotic we like is one that's
Thorn Research,
and it's encapsulated so that it goes right to the small intestine, so it doesn't need to be refrigerated.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered about probiotics that need to be refrigerated, because I go, well, how do they get through your gut?
Well, that's just it. Yeah. There's pros and cons in all of them. Yep. You know, all I can tell you is do your research thoroughly, because there are a lot of deceptive vitamins out there.
Yeah.
Fall out of fillers, dirt, charcoal, you'd be amazed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quick question on this is, you know, some people will take kefir or have yogurt, say, this is my probiotic, but a lot of those kefirs and yogurts have all kinds of sugar and crap.
I was going to mention, if it's got an artificial sugar, you're not doing yourself as much good as you think. If it's true Bifidophilus yogurt, the active good yeast without the aspartame and things that are bad for you, yes, you can't get enough. It's better than nothing.
And what's your experience with agave? I have a lot of people ask me about that. And that just from your actual, you know, seeing what people, because I see a lot of people switch from sugar to agave. And I know Mercola.com has quite a bit of information about agave not being what it says it is, and that it does really spike your sugar. And it does, you know, even though it says low glycemic index, that, you know, I really recommend that people avoid it, even though it's considered a natural sweetener. What's your experience with that?
There are many different sweeteners out there. Xylitol, if you are having a yeast issue, you can't beat xylitol. Mm-hmm. It actually kills the yeast.
Oh, that's interesting. I have heard that for yeast in the neti pot, so that makes sense. So,
yes.
So xylitol is anti-yeast for the whole body.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question from a listener in Everett, Washington. It's Julie Webb. She asks, do you massage the abdomen to get to the large intestines to get fecal matter out of the intestinal pockets?
Yes. I have a metamassager that sits beside the bed, and you also work your stomach in circular motions towards the way out. But with the massager, if you feel something clumping up in, say, one of the flexures or in your sigmoid, and it's just not feeling like it's releasing, you put that massager on there. It has a variable rate speed. Wherever you're comfortable, work it out of there. It'll come out.
Great. Could you say something about the three different parts of the colon? Just what?
You have the sigmoid where the water enters into the rectum. Then you have the descending. Then you have the transverse, and you have the ascending, all the way to the ileocecal valve, where the small intestine takes over.
Is there a part of the colon that you're aware of where food will stagnate or waste will tend to stagnate more
the whole
than
thing.
Others? Okay.
The whole thing. I mean, I have seen so many people come in impacted. It's not pretty. And when you come in and you're impacted, it takes a little bit more work. The more effort you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. Your first couple, your body's going to hydrate. The recommendation is 2 back-to-back 1 week, which is one day, one the next, 2 back-to-back the next week, and 1 a week for 8 weeks following. A full body cleanse is considered 12. There again, I did 14. It depends on your body and how your body responds, and as well for with the agave. Mm-hmm. If your body responds well and you seem to be doing well, I'm all for it. If your body does not respond in a good manner,
so you're really asking people to check in and see what they notice, whatever they're putting in, it makes sense.
Yeah.
We had seen a kinesiologist at one point in Arizona who taught me something called the ileocecal valve release, and basically the little reading that I did on it is that a lot of people are often misdiagnosed with diverticulitis and even appendicitis when they have a stuck ileocecal valve, and he taught me how to release it to open it. So that's, actually just to set it back to neutral and let the body do what it needs to do.
Yes.
And so we have about 45 seconds before we're going to take a break. So maybe we could get into that a little bit, and then we'll finish up.
And maybe the last thing before we take a break is, what can you say about alcohol as a part of a dietary restriction?
I think maybe we'll have to wait.
It's not a good thing. I mean, your body responds to things, of course, but alcohol is not on the good level.
Okay, so I think what we'll do right now is take a short break. We're talking to certified colon hydrotherapist Tina Williams, owner of Feel Better Naturally, and we will be right back. You're listening to Bridge to Everywhere.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Free Palmer, KVRF 89.5. If you'd like to get involved with community radio, contact us at radiofreepalmer.org. This is your chance to invent community radio in Sutton, Butte, Chickaloon, Palmer, and the surrounding areas. Big Cabbage Radio!
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Bridge to Everywhere. We're speaking with Tina Williams, certified hydrotherapist, colonic therapist. And I wanted to start off with a quote she has from her website. This is a commentary from Dr. J.H. Kellogg, M.D., in the Journal of the American Medical Association on her website. And it really made an impact on us. And here's the quote. It says, "The public must come to understand that dis-ease doesn't just happen. It's created. And that there is a cause and effect that accumulates over time. There's a well-supported theory of the eventual and possible fatal results of auto-intoxication, a condition whereby the body has reached a carrying capacity of toxicity due to poor diet, impaired digestion, stress, food additives, parasites, medications, genetic predisposition, and other factors, which allows undigested food and toxic chemicals to build up and literally putrefy and ferment in the bowels for years. The, quote, silent killer, unquote, poisons dumping into the bloodstream on a continual basis. Digestion, assimilation, and elimination can be seriously impaired as well as attack the body's own metabolic balance and immune system. Auto-intoxication or intestinal toxemia, gone uncorrected, often leads to chronic illness and degenerative disease, especially cancer."
Yes, sir.
So,
and that's where I was at. My body was... on the way.
It's a powerful statement, because if you really take a look at the chronic illness that is overwhelming the medical system, primarily it's very expensive and largely preventable illness, chronic illness, and it comes down to choices and behaviors that are being made.
Yes, sir. And body cleansing and detoxing is one of the quickest ways to cleanse your body of whatever's ailing you. You can have things going wrong, and if you cleanse your body, you rejuvenate it, you give it a chance to recover. You're helping your body help itself. And that's the bottom line. For most men, I compare it to an automobile. You flush your radiators, you know, you flush your body. Everybody cleans their house. You clean everything. Why don't you think about cleaning your body? Cleaning your body does just as much good as for your house, you know, right down to your litter box, your car. It doesn't matter. You clean it.
So I do want to go back to the cost issue, because it's an interesting conversation about what, you know, in the grand scheme of things, how much this process costs, even if you did 12, 14, even 20 sessions of both the far infrared sauna and the colon. But it's not relative to cancer. It's not expensive.
I was going to say, if you're comparing it to doctor bills, forget it. It's cheap.
Yeah,
I mean,
because the average cancer.
I don't put a price on life anymore, because I was already there. And when I had to call him and ask him for another $1,000, because I was like, need more, you don't put a price on it.
Let's go there, and then we'll go back to my question about ileocecal valve. So I mean, because what I've seen when people get a cancer diagnosis, you know, it's really, and it could be $300,000, could be $1 million. I mean, a lot of people don't know that many people in this country go bankrupt who have health insurance, because the cost of going through chronic illness like cancer and even some autoimmune diseases because of the expense of the drugs, which basically cause, you know, more problems and add more toxins into your body. I mean, you know, and in a way, it kind of keeps people, it may keep people alive for a while so that But you can sort of, money can be made off of
you. It's a Band-Aid.
Right, but the quality of life doesn't change.
No, ma'am.
So what's the cost? Let's say I said, well, okay, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do 12 sessions. I'm going to do 45 minutes of infrared. I'm going to do the 45-minute colonic, and I'm going to do the detox foot bath too, the Aqua Chi. So I'm going to do, you know, 12 sessions of the colonic and the far infrared, and then I'm also going to add in the foot bath. What am I talking about financially?
Well, you'd have to do your own math, but basically the sessions are $75 each. Mm-hmm. I offer every eighth colonic complimentary. I couldn't knock the price out where I couldn't keep the doors open, but yet wanted to give something back. Mm-hmm. So as well with the Aqua Chi, every fourth one is complimentary. With the far infrared sauna, every fifth one is complimentary. It gives a little bit of incentive to help people make that impact of expenditure, but yet see what their body is responding by then. Mm-hmm. And well, if they're responding enough, they don't have a problem continuing, especially after they get a free service.
And, you know, to tell you the truth, that doesn't, from my perspective where I'm sitting, seeing how much people actually have to spend to try to get healthy after they've put themselves in a poor state of health,
yeah.
It's really, relatively speaking, that's not that expensive.
It's
not. I think part of our issue in this culture is being able to change the conversation around what's expensive. You know, is buying organic food and having a gym membership so you exercise, is that expensive, or is that a matter of a choice where you choose
choices.
To put your money so
yes.
you don't end up spending, you know, having these huge doctor
you're
bills.
You're going to spend it on doctor bills or you're going to spend it on your health.
Right.
It's a basic line.
Exactly. And you know what, you know, the preventative care that's offered in our culture, you know, a mammogram is not a preventative care procedure. It basically catches the cancers that we failed to prevent.
Right.
So what you're doing really, if you look at the big picture, again, what it would cost even just to have, you know, let's say you were paying out of pocket, one MRI, one CT scan, one visit
to the... I'm still paying
the,
on medical bills
right.
because I was in the doctor's office
mm-hmm.
every other day. Every
right.
day I was to the hospital.
Right. One visit to the ER for abdominal pain or mm-hmm. for chest pain. Or
still paying on that hospital
right.
bill, too.
Exactly. So you know, from my standpoint, it comes... I mean, I know there are people out there who are struggling and you know, $75 mm-hmm. service is not available. You know, and I would love to see, you know, to have that be part of our medical system and be covered in some way
too.
Under insurance.
But
however, you know, right now that this is the situation, and if you're looking at, well, am I going to spend that money? You know, am I going to take yet one more vacation to
right.
Las Vegas?
Go for a night on the
yeah.
town. You spend that,
right? You know, or am I going to go out for an expensive dinner that I'm just, you know, or even go
you're
to a bar and
around,
get
right.
drunk?
Right.
You know, or am I going to do something that's actually going to benefit me? There's mm-hmm. there's a choice that's being made there.
Yes,
yeah.
ma'am.
And you know. I think that it's hard. I think that people who start to descend into illness don't really necessarily, you start to get used to what you get used to. And
you
so
do.
Feeling crappy mm-hmm. becomes sort of the new normal.
The majority of the world doesn't have a clue how it feels to feel healthy and feel good. And I didn't either.
Yeah. And so then if we can reframe the conversation, it's, you know, how much is it worth to feel fantastic
exactly.
and
exactly.
to stay feeling fantastic? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we can redefine health entirely. So it's not just the absence of feeling crappy, but it's actually like what a full life we could be living.
Exactly, because it does rejuvenate you. I'll be 52 in November. I feel 30. I mean, it's very improving on your health, your
yeah,
energy.
And
your
and imagine if most of the 52-year-olds in this yeah. in this country felt like 30, you know, what would we be giving back to the culture?
Exactly.
What would we be giving back to society? What could you actually do if you had lots of energy and you were really walking around positive, feeling great?
Quality of
yeah,
life.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So when you're working with people, do you find that, you know, there's a certain inspiration, the contrast between feeling so bad for so long that then things are really, really
yes.
changing,
yes.
that you see a spark? And,
people are
and,
amazed.
Yeah.
I have a young lady that hasn't been under 350 pounds for 5 years, and she is now down to 348, I think.
Wow.
So, you know, several different variances. Swollen knees, a woman that had to pack her feet in ice most of her life. It didn't matter where she was at, what she was doing. It all disappears because these are all ailments. These are fluids. These are toxins that are storing in your body. It's like the arthritis. I mean, 10 years ago, I thought I was going to have to leave this state because I've got several horse injuries, and the pain was intense. It's very hard to go through a day when you're sick, you're in pain, you don't feel good, you don't have any quality of life. But when you turn that around and you actually get the opportunity to feel better, to know what life is and to get out there and live it again. I mean, I'm raising my 5-year-old, so, you know.
Yes, so you're running around after a 5-year-old.
Yeah, and it's fun.
What you just said about arthritis is interesting because from mm-hmm. a Chinese medical standpoint, the way Chinese medicine would see things like arthritis is that sometimes it's from an illness or an exposure to toxins that you had way like 20, mm-hmm. 30 years before, and the body basically puts this stuff in cold storage if it can't eliminate eliminate it
exactly.
in the larger joints. Mm-hmm. It just basically moves it, keeps it away from the important internal organs like the heart and the liver and the kidney, but then it goes in the, you know, in the low back or in the hips
It'll
or in the
somewhere.
Knees. It's got to go somewhere if it can't come out. And so basically you're saying that through this process, people are even able to eliminate these kinds of things that
yes,
for whatever reason the body couldn't get rid of.
One of my first clients actually feels that she activated malaria. She was a broad traveler. She was started colonics. She started breaking out in spots, having high fevers, itching, and her and a nurse that she works with actually deducted, hey, you've activated some malaria. So it was a choice. Do you just stay home and be miserable? Do you come and flush it out? She came. She flushed it out within a matter of days. The spots were disappearing. The itching stopped. The fevers, of course, stopped. And she'll probably never have another problem with that again in her life.
And it's a different approach to getting healthy, because I think that again, a lot of people will think about getting healthy as the absence of symptoms, mm-hmm. but sometimes that involves suppression.
Exactly.
So I always use the example of you're driving down the road and your check engine light comes on, mm-hmm. you know, let's just slap a piece of duct tape over that and now the problem goes away.
The majority of the people are too busy to even pay any
right.
attention.
And that's taking aspirin for the headache mm-hmm. or taking Gas-X or Tums for the tummy
ache.
You're
doing more damage than you are good. Most people live on laxatives to try to have their bowel movements. Well, that's the worst thing you could do in the world. Laxatives are not good for the colon. They create more problems than they solve, and you don't actually get the relief that you need. It's like a home enema. You can clean the sigmoid with a home enema, but you can't clean the entire colon.
So
about the laxatives and what exactly is the problem with them? What are they doing? And could you maybe make some distinctions, because there's smooth move tea, which would be, you know, traditional medicinals. Is there
there's
a problem
Senna,
with
there's
the smooth
Cascara,
move
Sagrada.
Is an interesting yeah. thing because
my
grandson,
you know, he was saying this, smooth move tea is not smooth.
You know, my grandson had trouble with bowels. When I first started raising him, you know, his bowels weren't right. So I did give him the smooth move a little here and there to try to help him have a bowel movement. Then I found out later that it has Senna in it.
Uh-huh.
When your colon becomes addicted to Senna, it will not move without that. Mm. And when it's addicted, it's going to sit there until you put some Senna in there. So it is sort of an addiction as well, even with the smooth move medicinals.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I've heard about mm-hmm. Senna and both in Cascara Sagrada. Mm. But
you have to be careful.
Yeah, there are other things out there. I think what's one of them?
Magnesium's very good.
Swiss Chris is one that I've seen. I don't know if that one has. I've heard people mm-hmm. recommend that one, and then
Natural
I haven't looked
Calm into
that.
Is one of
Natural
them.
Calm with mm-hmm. the magnesium mm-hmm. I know works, that just relaxes everything.
Well, what I've found is the yeast mm-hmm. actually eats your potassium and your magnesium mm-hmm. in your body, and that's going to be two of the higher levels that are going to be depleted. Mm-hmm. So those are good things to replenish.
Mm-hmm. And some people actually use Swedish bitters, and they mm-hmm. find that's a good, that mm-hmm. actually helps move the colon. We have detox tea in our office that's actually got a little bit of catnip in it mm-hmm. and a little bit of skullcap, and both of those things help.
Personally, you'd be surprised mm-hmm. if you consult mm-hmm. a wild plant in Alaska book. Uh-huh. There's 13 species of willow trees. You just go pick a leaf off of it. The more uh-huh. bitter it is, the more pain relief you get, the more inflammation work you get. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's things like Devil's Club's tea and pine needle tea and things that you can do just from your backyard if you just do the research.
Yeah, we were just talking last week to Ellie Vandevis of Good Earth Garden School, and mm-hmm. she was recommending Janice Schofield's book. It's Wild Plants
exactly.
of the Pacific
That's
Northwest.
The book I work out of.
Yeah,
it's and
wonderful.
I would love to meet Janice Schofield
yeah,
because I tell you.
Up here this summer.
I've got to find a way to connect with her.
Yeah, you should.
The doctor that took care of me the first 15 years had done some infield work with Janice Schofield, and I was amazed. Jessica Stevens, she was killed on the highway a few years mm-hmm. back. So it's a good thing, and it's something that everybody can do, and it's affordable.
I want to get back to the laxatives. There's a common use of psyllium.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good?
Depends on your body. I have people that come in, and they've taken it, and it's locked them up. I have people that come in and it's got them running and they can't stop. It just depends on where your body falls, your toxicity level, what fluctuations you have going on, what imbalances in minerals and things that should be there that aren't. As we age, our bodies, of course, deplete. So as they deplete and you're not rejuvenating them, they can't just function on their own anymore.
How many bowel movements is actually normal and healthy for us?
You should have a bowel movement 30 minutes after every meal. So depending on how many times you eat a day, and automatically when your feet hit the floor in the morning. That's the most important one.
And what's just a typical, what you're seeing with the clients that come in?
Lots of yeast.
And are they typically having that many bowel movements?
No. No, most of the people that come through my door are in a desperation state because they've waited till they're to the point of, okay, I got to do something. I'm either going to go do some pharmaceuticals and some surgeries, or I'm going to start looking for some natural alternatives. And the manufacturer of this device actually carried around, I know, you know, most people aren't familiar with barium enemas, but many years ago that's all they had to work with. So many people had barium enemas. They stay in your gut for 30 years, up to 30 years. The manufacturer with several colonics, you can remove that. She passed hers like a cement log on the colonic table. And her husband's a naturopath in Texas, of course, came running because she gave out a scream. They couldn't catch it in time for class. You know, it would have been interesting, but she said it was just set up in her gut and had been in there for 22 years.
Wow.
Well, such as a blockage.
So I wonder about the why people often come to you as a last resort. I had a physician post on my Facebook page today when I right underneath I put the posting that we're going to be interviewing this evening, and he mm-hmm. said, "Well, as a physician, you know, this is there's a quote, no, you know, medical evidence that this
yes, there is.
That this works, right? I mean, this is, but again, I think this is they're not teaching it in medical school.
Exactly,
right?
They're not familiarized with it because it is more of a natural field, and there again. When pharmaceuticals put more money in their pocket than natural health, it's a
right.
no-brainer.
So it's how they're being. I mean, physicians only get, what is it, like, you know, maybe 4 credit hours of nutrition. So it's not
right.
like they're getting
they
a lot of education.
Field, but they do get
unless they've chosen to do, you know, there's physicians up here. Dr. Jill Valerius, for instance, she's just about finished her, she's getting her boards in functional medicine. So there are other, and naturopaths, of course, mm-hmm. have a lot more experience in nutrition. So there are doctors here who have spent a lot of time studying nutrition. So I would say, I always tell people, it's know your source. If your physician says to you, well, there's no medical evidence for this, well, that just tells
research.
Me that in their experience, yeah. you know, in their training, they have not come up against, you know, against,
right.
they haven't seen this. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't work.
No.
You know, that's just one person's opinion
exactly.
based on what they know and based on, you know, what they learned in school.
But personally, I don't feel they should give much input until they've tried it or at least looked at it or studied it, because
right.
things like this are being overlooked by far in this world today because it's taboo, as you said, or people have issues talking about feces, or they can't stick anything in their butt. Well, it's the size of your pinky. Your feces is bigger than that. It's not that hard on the body. It's not a bad thing. You mentioned pain. That's the question I couldn't get back to. The pain, there should never be any pain. If anybody's ever sit on the stool and you've got to have a bowel movement and your belly starts gurgling and you feel really yucky for a minute and then you pass it, that's peristalsis activating. When peristalsis activates, it's trying to work something out of there. That is at the yuckiest you should feel. It should be no worse than that. There should be no pain. If there is, it's something that we need to address. We need to talk about. I come in, turn the device off. The water flow stops. You know, if it's just pressure, a lot of times they're just nervous or scared. Mm-hmm. I've had several people come in and, well, I can't release. I can't do this. All you got to do is relax. When you relax, the body will take over. The device that flows the water in, everything else flows out. It's a natural process.
So I want to ask a question. Our good friend Stella Lynn, she's an herbalist, and she just finished her midwifery degree. Mm-hmm. And she studied a lot with Susan Weed. Mm-hmm. And Susan Weed is an herbalist in upstate New York, a highly respected herbalist. But she has an interesting opinion on the whole cleansing and purging and flushing idea. And mm-hmm. the way she talks about it is that, you know, the body's organs were not designed to be purged and flushed. However, we were also not designed to take in the level mm-hmm. of toxins, and we weren't exposed to, you know, when our bodies were not designed at the point when, you know, electromagnetic frequencies were out there, or when we were, you know, being exposed to all sorts of pesticides
yes.
and chemicals and eating,
and
you know,
all our food.
Yeah,
and our bodies were not designed to
right.
lay down on a couch.
And
for,
if you're going
right.
to do all of that, then you better be doing something to back it up
right.
because unhealth is inevitable. If you're going to be unhealthy, that's what's going to happen with the rest of your body.
Right.
You just have to do your research. And like I said, it's not for everybody, but mm-hmm. for the ones that's working for it, it's working well.
Right. So I think for some people it might appear that it's extreme, but you know what we're actually exposing ourselves to and
that's extreme.
Yeah. And actually what Kevin pointed out is really important, the sedentary lifestyle
mm-hmm.
that we have.
Mm-hmm.
The sitting is basically the new smoking. I mean, we spend so much time not moving our bodies, and
mm-hmm.
that is part of the engine that drives the
exactly.
whole detoxification process. So
it's no different than your vehicle.
Right.
If your vehicle sat in your driveway for 10 years and didn't move,
mm-hmm.
what would it do?
Right.
You know, if you don't flush your radiator and clean your oil, change your filters,
mm-hmm.
what's it going to do?
Right.
It's the same
thing. So the person who's eating, you know, whole organic foods and who's exercising regularly and drinking plenty of clean water and getting good sleep. Even that person, though, they still have a better chance, but they still need cleansing. There's still exposure to all this stuff.
It's
not like you can really walk around in your own little bubble and not get exposed to things.
Everything we eat, drink, and breathe
is sort of inevitable. Yeah, every time you get on an airplane, you're exposed
to stuff. It's
inevitable,
right.
Yeah. So I want to get back to the ileocecal valve discussion. So yeah. Before we do that, I just wanted to ask,
now the next day after doing this procedure, do folks generally have a little detox reaction?
Some do, some don't. I have some that come in and say, oh my gosh, I lost 5 pounds, went home and cleaned the entire house. I have others say, oh God, it was all I could do to get to the bed. I mean, it just depends on how your body responds, where your toxicity level is. The majority of the people just kind of fall on the fence. I've had very few that have ill effects, which the ill effects would be flu-like symptoms, lethargy, just nauseousness, feeling all around yucky. You know, but when you come back and you do that second one or the back-to-back, that takes that all away. When you do that second release, what's happening is your body's releasing toxins from everywhere. Every organ, everything in your body will release toxins. So when your gut is full of toxins and ready to release again, it's going to make you feel yucky. It wants it out of there.
It's reabsorbing what you're talking about. Like, it's going so fast that the elimination system isn't able to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. So that's why you get those flu-like symptoms and the headache and the irritability and the, you know, sluggishness. So basically the second time through, it's actually
reabsorption happening, or that's...
If you don't come back and do the second one, then it's the auto-intoxification because your body does reabsorb it. If you don't come back, you're wasting your time. Okay. When you do the first one and you start this process for your body gets excited. You know, most people, it just wants to go is, help me, help me, help me, because we don't help our bodies enough. You can't get true organic food in most places. I mean, you know, you can do the best you can, and especially up here. But with everything we're putting in, if you're not taking the bad stuff out, it's just going to build up, and it's going to take a toll.
Do you recommend juicing or doing some kind of a special diet while doing this detoxing?
You know, that is pretty basic, too. You do what is normal for your body because you don't have to do anything particular other than not eat 2 hours before a colonic. And the reason being, you don't want a heavy meal sitting in your gut when you come to clean out the other end, or it's just going to come out the front end. I mean, it's just logic.
Okay. Can people become dependent on colonics to move
I've asked
house?
That question myself, because since I've had the business open fighting yeast, I do regular colonics because my diet isn't perfect, especially raising a five-year-old. So I have asked that question, and my answer so far are no. You know, if you did two or three a week or you did one every day, maybe. One a week is what I average, one every other week, and it just keeps my body on track with the stress load that I'm under and the diet these days.
Okay, so let's go back to the ileocecal valve.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so what this kinesiologist told me is that sometimes the ileocecal valve will get stuck in a closed position or an open position, and it can mimic something like appendicitis or diverticulitis. And people will often go into the ER, and sometimes will actually have surgery and have their be opened up, and the appendix looks fine. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll actually lose their appendix anyway because while we're here, we might as well take it.
Exactly.
You know,
that's what they did to me.
Yep. So can you speak a little bit about that valve and what it does?
Well, it actually works the passage from the small intestine to the large intestine. That's where your food processes. As it processes, the large intestine is the last place it'll go. It's evacuated after that. So the ileocecal kind of controls all of those hold and releases. So if it's open, you know, I haven't had anybody have any complications. I suppose it's possible. I'm not that familiar with it.
I'm just curious if you've seen certain foods that, like in my experience, wheat and caffeine seem to really mess with that particular valve. So
I have a lot of people that'll drink a cup of coffee to come in thinking it's going to help them do better.
Right.
So, you know, I guess it just depends on the person. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen a lot of variation. Now, I have had seen liver dumps on the table. It's not uncommon to have a liver dump.
What's a liver dump?
Your liver will actually release laying right there on the table. I've had it happen several times.
You mean like the bile?
You pass the actual bile, and you can see it go through the tube, and it's fully
out. Do you see stones, like gallstones being released?
If you're flushing them out, you're going to see it, yes. Mm-hmm. It can be kidney stones. It can be anything in your body, because every organ in your body is going to cleanse, right down to your blood if you do enough.
Mm-hmm. I need a visual here.
Yes, sir.
So I know there's
of course
open
you do.
The open and closed system. So I was thinking with the closed system is the one where you've got the big nozzle, and that's probably going to be a little more uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. The open system, you're still not having material coming out. It's all going out of the tube still.
It's going into an open base.
Okay.
It's a big table with an open area that runs basically up the crack of your butt to an area where when you release, it goes into this. Water flows through there and flushes it all out.
So you're needing to remove the tube to have the release, or the tube just stays in there? So
you have a rectal tube that stays in the whole time.
Okay.
And everything comes out around it.
It comes out around it. Okay, yeah, because I actually did the...
Where with a closed system, you have the rectal tube that is larger, the smaller water tube flows through it, and everything else as well flows through that tube. What I was guiding was you have a tube to the side of the table. You're actually releasing into a table, like an oversized toilet. Mm-hmm. And everything is cleaned with CDC, which kills right down to AIDS. It's all through the IAC regulations. But you have a tube to your left side that you can visually see anything and everything coming out of your body. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know what's going on, take a look.
Yeah, the closed system was what I experienced in it. And you roll over to your side, and they figure out which direction your the sigmoid is leaning, so they can put the tube in correctly. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit startling when that tube gets inserted. It's kind of like, oh, okay.
As well, from what I understand, when they control the hold and release, because you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to blow before they let you release.
It was a little bit nerve-wracking, I think, only because I think in this culture, we're so conditioned to have bowel movements in private. And so there's I think we're going back to the taboo. You have somebody standing there, and there's that feeling
Most people won't release with me in the room, but the ones that do, I'm able to help them and give them a little guidance from what I've learned so far.
Yeah, I think that just goes back to instinct, you know, it's like animals. Like
exactly. But this has been around since 1500 BC. The consideration was only for hierarchy, kings, queens, and the such. It wasn't even allowed for most people.
Right now,
it's Hollywood secret. This is Hollywood secret. People like Sylvester Stallone, I mean, you punch in. Hey, colonics with stars or, you know, celebrities. You'll find out. It's common. This is how they stay so pretty, fit, and trim. It's just how it works. But I want it to be for everybody. I want everybody to realize. Because I was diagnosed with irritable bowel disease. I didn't have irritable bowel disease. They wanted to remove part of my intestines. They kept trying to remove parts of my body that I wasn't agreeable with.
Yeah, and so that's a question. You're willing to try something like this versus, you know, and some people would rather do surgery because they don't. You know,
they don't really care.
It's just so out of what some people would consider normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm just encouraging everybody who's listening, anybody who's having some of these problems that you're talking about. It may not be colonics, but to like consider first, like take a look at your diet, take a look at exercise, take a look at other therapies. You know, there are other things out there other than drugs and surgery.
Exactly.
And we've often said on this show that there are people who would like to do drugs and surgery and not change, but there are also people who would like to do acupuncture, naturopathy, and herbs and not change.
Right.
So often it comes down to being willing.
Choices.
When dis-ease shows up, it's usually a call to doing something different in your life. Like, what you're doing right now doesn't work. And, one of my favorite things is the person who comes in, well, I used to be able to do this, and I can't anymore. And so, but you don't necessarily want to bring the person back to the kind of person that they used to be, because the kind of person that they used to be got them to where they are, which
exactly.
is ill.
Right.
So you, in order to be healthy, you actually have to be the kind of person who doesn't get the illnesses that you have.
Exactly.
And that involves change.
No. But if you do, it is resolved through many different ways that are healing as to band-aiding.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're coming into the last few minutes of the show here, and I just wanted to see, number one, if any of our listeners have questions, go ahead and put them into our Facebook page, Bridge to Everywhere. And in the meantime, are there any...
Please call me. Ask questions. Come in. Sit down. Have a cup of tea. You don't have to do a service. Just start learning. There are many options, many choices. I have the whole place full of books and information. You know, it's right there at your fingertips. Come in. Sit down. Read.
And what days are you there?
I'm there from Monday to Friday from 10 to 5, as well as I offer before and after hour services at no extra charge. I'm there when you need me.
Okay. So you can call up and say, hey, I'm coming back from Anchorage. You know, I can only do 7 o'clock on a...
I'm there.
Thursday evening, so
9
you'll
o'clock
do it.
Evening.
Yeah.
I almost had an appointment this afternoon.
That's awesome. That's great. All right, so you don't do weekends, though? Or
I do anything you need.
Okay.
And phone
weekends
number?
Weekends as well. Yeah, if you call the 631-0530, that will pass through to my cell if I'm not there.
Okay.
As well as I leave a note on the door if you actually come by and I'm not there. If my cell's on the door, it's there for you to call me. Call me. I'm just close paying a bill or grabbing groceries or I run home to make supper. I mean, call me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got a beautiful website, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Really informative. A lot
a
of
A young man in Florida
there.
Fixed that up for me.
Yeah.
So.
And that's colonicsak.com? Is that
Colonics Alaska. No, not AK. Colonicsalaska.com.
Spelled out. Okay.
And feel free to message me. I do have the Tina Williams Facebook page as well as the Feel Better Naturally. I try to provide as much information as well-rounded as possible for just about any health issue you can find.
Okay, so we're coming down to the last minute. Is there anything else you would like to say about colon hydrotherapy, or you think that we covered the whole...
I would just love to have anybody that's interested actually ask the questions. Don't be afraid. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's not that evasive. It's pretty simple procedure.
Okay. Do you have men coming in?
I have all kinds of men coming in.
Oh, good.
I have military. I have 19-year-olds with celiac. You know, they eat something that makes them feel bad. They come in and flush it away. They're done the next day instead of lacking out a week. I mean, this is well-rounded for just about anybody. I've got military coming in. Young man has been locked up for 2 years, hadn't pooped on his own without laxatives. He is now having bowel movements on his own.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Well, that's a good note to end on.
Thank you, Tina, for joining us tonight.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. And have a great evening, everyone.
Let's feel better naturally and wasala.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on The Bridge to Everywhere, broadcasting on KVRF 89.5 Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Like us on Facebook at Bridge to Everywhere to access more information, links, and resources from our guests and show topics.